I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, going back quite a few years, it's amazing, isn't it, how time goes, really. Somebody mentions something and you say, oh, yeah, that was... You think it was quite recent, it turns out to be 20 years ago or something like that, you know. So, anyway, many years ago, I used to come to your ladies' meeting on a Tuesday afternoon, and going way back, my dear old mum used to come with me. I used to pick her up and she used to come to the ladies' meeting. Well, sadly, after a while, she developed Alzheimer's and she ended up in a care home. So she wasn't able to come anymore. But I was thinking back to when she was in a care home. She lived to be 99. She didn't quite make the 100. She was a couple of months short of the 100, and all the carers in the home were sort of rooting for her. They wanted her to make it. But anyway, 99 she was. But when she first went into the care home, her memory was starting to deteriorate. And I remember that I took in some old photographs. They were photographs that came from my parents' house, and some of them I knew what they were, and some of them I had no idea at all who the people were, and there was no helpful thing written on the back of the photos. And that happens a lot, I think. You go through these photos and you think, who's that, you know? But anyway, I found this photo, and it was a school photo taken 80 years before I was showing it to her. And I think it was in Hampstall School, not Hampstall School, Bournemouth Park Road Primary School. And I showed her this picture, and she named the teacher. Remember, this was 80 years before when this photo was taken. And she named 8 of the girls in the picture. Now, I can't be 100% sure, but she was quite definite about it, so I'm sure she was right. I couldn't check it out and verify it, but anyway. But schooling, if we go back then, you know, you're talking, she was born in 1921. You go back then, over 100 years. Schooling was very different, wasn't it? Not that anybody here would remember that, of course, because you're all too young. But in the olden days, as it were, the main subjects that were taught were called, erroneously, the three R's. It starts off quite well. R for reading. As it progresses to the other two R's, the W gets in the way. Reading, writing. Yes. Now, don't say arithmetic. It's arithmetic, isn't it? Oh, it starts with an R. The three R's. I thought I'd give you a little maths lesson this morning. There's no examination, but we're going to look at a little story in the Bible that, as I open it up, hopefully you'll see that it covers all the aspects of simple mathematics. Okay. So we'll be looking at subtraction, division, multiplication, and addition. Okay. Now, I did write down here, I'm not going to preach from the Book of Numbers. But that was just something that came to my head. It's nothing to do with the Book of Numbers at all. I'm going to read you, first of all, the story that you'll all be very familiar with. And it's headed, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. And I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it in little sections. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It will take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." After another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in this place." And they sat down, about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Now, interestingly, this miracle, as recorded in, I've read from the Gospel of John, but this miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels. And apart from the resurrection as a miracle, it's the only one that appears in all 4 Gospels. And so it must be extra important that we kind of understand it. But John, in his writings, very much wanted to show to people that Jesus was the coming Messiah. And to do this, John likes to identify signs that point to the very fact that Jesus was the Son of God. And this is one of those signs. And sometimes people will do a Bible study on those signs that are found in the book of John. But I said I'm going to take you through the signs in the mass lesson, if you like. And the first one I've come to is subtraction. And I've headlined that, "The takeaway that was taken away." Verse 8 in this chapter says this: "Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, but how far will they go among so many?'" That wasn't really much of a meal to look at, really. This little boy's lunch, really. And then 5,000 men and plus women and children, you know. It wasn't much to look at. But in the hands of the Lord Jesus, amazing things happen. And I think we sometimes think in our own lives that we're very small on the scale of things. We're very insignificant. What can we do? What do we have to offer? But the thing is that we need to give that to the Lord Jesus. He's the one and God, and they will do things with it. And I'll think back to that story about Naaman in the Old Testament, this commander of the army. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." She was only young. She'd been taken away from her family, from her home, from her country, against her will. And now she was in a foreign country, and she had perhaps every right not to be very happy about things. And yet she saw the need that her mistress's husband had. He had this leprosy, and she knew that it could be cured. She just had a simple faith, and sometimes that's all that's needed. We need to realise that however young we are or however insignificant we feel, if we give a situation to the Lord, he's the one that can do amazing things. Now, so the takeaway was taken away. The next thing that happened was division. The takeaway that was broken. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There's plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Jesus prays over the food, giving thanks for it, and then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. Often, in our own lives, we may come to the point where we need to be broken. In Psalm 51, it kind of gives us something to think about. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17 say this: "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise." So in order for that miracle to move to the next stage, those simple little loaves, this simple picnic, if you like, that this little boy had, they had to be broken. And in that psalm, it says, that should be our sacrifice, being broken before the Lord. So we come to the next one. Multiplication. Can't even say it. The takeaway that kept on giving. Jesus took loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Can you imagine that? That situation, the disciples are going round and they give it things out and there's still things there, and they give more things out and they give more things out, and everybody has as much as they wanted to eat. Now this truly is a miracle, and when I was thinking about this, I thought how sometimes God does use specific people to be part of that multiplication. I thought of Billy Graham, and I thought the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord at that time could have no idea how many thousands upon thousands of people came to faith because of his evangelism. There's a little story about Billy Graham that made me smile. And this was way back in the beginning when he first started to preach. I remember going to Wembley Stadium and going to a crusade there with Billy Graham. And I was standing there, you know, I went with the youth club from Hadley, and he preached, and it was good, and that. And I thought, well, I don't think anybody's going to go out down the front. How wrong I was. Hundreds of people went to the front of the arena there to give their lives to Christ. But way back when Billy Graham first started, and he arrived in a small town to preach, and he wanted to post a letter. And he saw this little young lad, and he said, he asked him where the post office was. And when Billy Graham thanked him and said to him this: "If you come to church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." This is what the little boy said: "I don't think I'll bother. You don't even know the way to the post office." Well, we praise God for the way in which he does use some people. So we reflected on the young girl in the story of Naaman, how perhaps she seemed quite insignificant, young, inexperienced. She might have had grievances, but she didn't show them. And yet she was used by God. And then just reflected briefly on Billy Graham, who went on telling people how to get to heaven. And I suspect, I don't know what he did with his letters, but anyway, don't worry about that. Okay, so that was a takeaway that kept on giving. It was just a little picnic, and it fed all those people. And so, reminds us a little bit of the story of the sower, doesn't it? Some other seed fell on good soil, it came up and grew, produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And those of you that are gardeners will know the truth of that. Multiplication. And the last one on my list is addition. Now this is the one that really makes me smile, but also puzzles me in a way. I've got a friend who's a retired maths teacher, and I'll have to ask her about this, but we start off with 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. We feed thousands of people, and in the end there's 12 baskets of stuff left over. It's incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. And in a way, it kind of says to us, God doesn't just want to bless us a bit. God wants us to bless us a lot. In Luke 6:38 it says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So in every part of the story that we've gone through, we can ask ourselves, what made the difference in this situation? And the resounding answer is the Lord Jesus made the difference. It wasn't Andrew, it wasn't Philip, it wasn't anybody else. It was the Lord Jesus. He wants us to take what we have to him. But sometimes it means we may need to be broken before him. And the result for us and for others can be a multiplication of people and an abundance of life we never thought possible. Like the hungry crowd who Jesus fed, we can echo these words. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who will come into the world." And those words were echoed by Peter in Acts, where he preaches a sermon and he says this: "Moses said, 'The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your countrymen. You shall listen to him and obey everything he tells you.'" So, there we are. You didn't expect to have a maths lesson when you came to church, did you? But there's so much in this story that can apply to us and our lives. So, thank you for listening. I'm just going to pray a short benediction prayer. And it goes like this. Let the majesty of the Father be the light by which you walk. The compassion of the Son be the love by which you walk. The presence of the Spirit be the power by which you walk. Amen.